unless Christ comes back, is going to happen with our death, our physical death, our body dying and our spirit, our soul going to be with the Lord, if you know Christ. So when you talk about things like this, right, when you consider your own mortality, it tends to be kind of a heavy subject, as I've been saying. So some of you might even look at that event with dread, right? And that can be for a couple of reasons. That can be because as we age and we draw closer to the end of our lives, we lose what we once had physically. Our health, our strength, our physical ability declines. And I'm learning this as I go. That's not a very fun process. Perhaps you've had a friend or a relative who's already passed on, and you unfortunately watch them perhaps suffer at the end, in their last days or years. And that's certainly not fun. So that can bring us heaviness when we think of our own death. Okay. Now, what comes after death is wonderful for the Christian. Right? It can't be better. It's as good as it gets. Okay, so there's hope for you, those that know Jesus Christ. But the process of dying, this is the way I put it, the process of dying isn't something that I'm looking forward to. That whatever that is for me, and I don't know, Lord knows, but whatever that process is not something. So that can bring some heaviness, right? But if you know the Bible and you know the Lord, we understand that if Christ doesn't come soon, we're all going to pass through that door of death. Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it's appointed unto men once to die." We're going to die. Why? Because of sin. Sin brought death into the world. We're all sinners. We all deserve to die. We deserve much worse than that. Now, you can escape that by coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not death, but you can escape spiritual death. You can live forever with God. Now, most people want to live in this life as long as they possibly can. Right? Not everybody, but most people do. We're all living longer these days. We've had advancements in technology and knowledge that God has given us that have allowed us to live better quality lives further into the years as they go by. And that's good. But no matter how long and how much great medical care you get, you're going to come to the day when it's your last. All right? Our bodies are going to return to the earth, dust to dust, as is said at many funerals, and we're going to go to meet our God. Now, messages like this aren't any fun, but, and by the way, this subject isn't something I think that you really want to dwell on a lot. You don't want to spend a lot of time, I don't think, thinking about your death. You don't want to fixate on it, for sure. What will happen to you if you do that? You'll start walking around depressed, thinking, oh, I've got to go through this. Well, that's not what God wants for you as a Christian. He doesn't want you to think negatively of your death. What did Paul say, right? To be with Christ is far better. It's way better. There's just this thing, this doorway of death between us and God. But I do think that thinking about it from time to time is a good thing. So we can have a Sunday school lesson on it. The reason it's a good thing, because it makes us think about the time that we have left and what we're going to do with it. You shouldn't be thinking, as we've talked about in past weeks, about what's gone by and what you did wrong and what you didn't do that you should have, right? Remember, we talked about forgetting that which is behind, right? That's one of the things that God tells us to do. So when you're thinking about the rest of your life, that you consider your own mortality, you're thinking about the day of your departure, don't dwell on what's the past. Think about what's left. This is what God wants us to do, and that's really where this passage is going, okay, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So I think it's appropriate that in this book, this sermon about life, the preacher, Solomon, he brings us to think about death because the Lord desires us to think about our day of departure and what we're going to do with him before that day comes, while we yet live, because we don't know when death is coming, but it's coming. So let's use it the way God intended. Let's think about the rest of our days. All right. Now, Again, I have three things, three points to talk about in this lesson. The first one, and it just kind of breaks down into the way that this is broken down in chapter 12. So we're going to talk about the first couple of verses to start, and I want to talk about the potential of the present. Okay. So we talked about this a little two Sundays ago. If you were here or listened online, you might remember that we saw an invitation to cast our bread upon the water. It's in verse 1 in chapter 11. And really what that was, if you remember, we talked about that, was God inviting us to cast our lives at Christ's feet and to do it completely. Give your life to God completely and do it now. So we've talked about that just a little bit, but let's talk about it a little more. Look at what it says again in verses 1 and 2 of Ecclesiastes 12. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." So we see here some things that can be done. There are some things that can be done now, and only now. And that's an interesting thought. When you start thinking through these things, which is, again, what I'm always trying to get you to do as I teach, is I'm trying to get you to think through some things that I know you know, but think about it for a little bit, and you'll come to some realizations that perhaps you haven't come to before. So the Bible says here that while there is light, while you have life, we're to do what God desires us to do. Remember now thy Creator. Do it now. There's potential in the present. Don't plan on serving God later, if you understand what I mean by that. I mean you should plan on serving God for the rest of your life. But don't plan on doing it later rather than now. Do it now. Every day, wake up and decide that day and pray, asking God to help you serve him to your fullest potential. Because everything that we do for Jesus must be done in the present. You can't go back in time and do things for him then. You can't travel forward in time and do things for him then. You can plan on doing things for him in the future, but you're not promised tomorrow. So do it now. Everything we do for Christ has to be done in the present. Unfortunately, a lot of people miss the golden moment that God gives them to live, right? We get wrapped up in all these things that make life busy, most of which is useless, pointless, unfortunately. We worry about all those things that we need to accomplish. And if you remember the lesson from last week, I told you that there's no joy that comes from some accomplishment. That's not where joy comes from. Okay? If you remember when I was telling you about Solomon, how he said he hated life. He had accomplished many great things by that point in his life, but he said yet he hated life. Okay? So it's not in some accomplishment. We get distracted by problems that need solving, right? I don't suppose any of you have any problems in your life. We all have them. If you remember the last couple of lessons, we've talked about that a little bit. But we get tied up in that. And we find ourselves putting off spiritual things, postponing our service to God and others because we have to worry about these things that keep us so busy. We have to figure out how to solve these problems. We have to figure out how we're going to accomplish such and such a thing. Don't do that. Let's worry about serving God. And I'm going to tell you that based on Matthew's. Keep your finger here in Ecclesiastes 12, but go to Matthew chapter 6. I just want you to, again, look at a very familiar passage of Scripture. So Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 31. This is Christ speaking to his disciples. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? So the important part of that is Christ is speaking. So let's listen carefully to what Jesus had to say. Verse 31, he says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take, therefore, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Some people, I believe, take this passage a little wrong. They take it a little too far. What it's really telling you, I believe, is to not waste your todays worrying about tomorrow. It had a very literal meaning when he was talking to his disciples. For us today, look, don't worry about what's happening tomorrow. Why? Because there's plenty of things to do today. That's the potential of the present. To help explain this, and what I mean by this, this is where I think people go wrong, where it says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So people think, well, I don't have to do anything else. There is nothing else in life. Well, okay, do you have to eat? Do you have to sleep? If you're a parent, should you take care of your children and raise them according? Okay, it doesn't mean just seek God and forget everything else. That is not what it means. All right, the Bible teaches prudence. All right, and the reason I bring that up, and let me define prudence for you. Some people don't know exactly what that means. It means provident care or foresight in the management of resources, economy, frugality, planning ahead, counting the cost with regard, and using caution with regard to practical matters. Okay? So y'all get that? Let me read that again. Prudence is provident care or foresight in the management of resources, economy, frugality, planning ahead, counting the cost, and using caution with regard to practical matters. Okay? But as we take the whole counsel of God, it says here in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the Bible teaches prudence, but we're not supposed to do so much planning ahead and so much taking so much caution with regard to things that we have to do that we spend all of our time worrying about tomorrow. The Bible says don't do that. Okay, it's very clear. Some of you know that I teach financial classes. I've done it here a couple times. I'm doing it next month in Brightway. I've done it over at Hilltop, and one of the things that I teach here with regard to financial things comes right out of verse 33. And let me tell you what I say there, just so you understand the whole concept here. Verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Okay, first means it's the most important thing, and you should do it first. But first doesn't mean it's the only thing. Okay, God didn't say, seek ye only the kingdom of God and do nothing else. That's not what he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's the most important thing. Okay, do that. Absolutely, you need to do that. But first implies that there's a second, less important thing. And that thing must also be done, right? God's telling you to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And in this case, Jesus is saying, look, don't worry about all these other things that you're going to need. God knows you need them. He'll give them to you. But when it comes to, in the context of financial things, this is what I'm telling you is how I explain this in the financial class. So when it comes to paying your bills, it doesn't say, well, go ahead and use your money how you want. God will take care of what you need. That's not what it means, right? There's something second. And I believe in general I could categorize that as prudent things, okay? Again, care in the management of resources, planning ahead, counting the cost, using caution with regard to practical matters, okay? There's the second. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, most important for sure. So seek God and his righteousness first, but also be prudent. So that, and this is the point I use in the financial class, not so that you can get rich, that's not the point. The point is, so that you don't have to worry about tomorrow, plan ahead, be prudent, so that you don't spend today worrying about tomorrow. I've already got a plan. I'm just following my plan. Now I can spend today using the potential of the present, serving God, right? You don't want to be preoccupied by putting out fires and cleaning up messes that are preventable with a little prudence, which, this is going to sound very accusatory because it is, that's what some of you are doing. You're running around putting out fires, taking care of things that you could have taken care of if you just had a little prudence. Okay, so the Bible teaches both things. It's so that you can concentrate on today and fulfill its potential for God today. There's potential in the present to enjoy life and live for the Lord. Death and disease and declining health are coming. Sorry. It's coming for me too. I don't like it, but it's how it is. I still sin. I deserve it. Every time I do it, I deserve all that. Okay. But with the help of God, you can learn to enjoy your life one day at a time while serving Him. Okay, that's the potential of the present. Number two from these verses is, this is sort of a weird passage. This is what I was referring to. Go back to Ecclesiastes 12. Verses 3 to 5 is probably one of the best allegories on aging that I've ever read. It makes it sound nice, but it's really not so nice. So what I want to do is just kind of go through these verses, and those of you that are older, you'll get it 100%. Those of you that are younger, you're going to think, oh yeah, maybe someday. No, it's coming. Okay. So let's read verses 3 to 5 again. And then, actually, I'm going to do this slowly because I want to tell you what each of these mean, just so you have a clear understanding of what God is doing here. We just talked about the first two verses where God is talking about the potential of our present. We can serve Him with our lives. Do it now. Why? Verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. This is talking about our hands and our arms. The keepers of the house, the things that we use to do the work, to keep the house, to do things. Okay? As the years pass, as we get further on down the road, if Mrs. Lindsay was here, or if she listens later, as we get further down that road, our once strong and steady hands begin to tremble. It's true. It was interesting. Yesterday, I was visiting my mother. I was over in Rochester, where she lives. In her garage, right where the top of the wall meets the roof, she's just been battling squirrels. There's a nest up in there. My mother is in her 80s, and she's been up there trying to get this nest out of there. So she asked me, "Hey, could you pull that nest out of there?" Sure. So I go out in the garage, and I've got the tool, and I'm up there trying to get this thing out of there. And she says to me, "Does that make your arms shake?" Why would she ask me that question? Because it made her arms shake. My answer was, well, if I do this for very long, absolutely. Now, if you'd asked me that 30 years ago, nope, no problem. My arms wouldn't be shaking. I was plenty strong enough to do that all day long. Can't do that now. Okay, that's what it means. These keepers of the house, as the years pass, your hands and your arms, they were once strong, but now they're not. They begin to tremble. Let's see, continuing in verse 3 here. And the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong men are our legs. They weaken with old age. I'm just going to give you a bunch of examples from my life because it's not fair for me to talk about you up here. But I've had recent experiences with most of these things. So day before yesterday, I was out working around my pond. Some of you know I have a pond in my front yard. And I was working on the side of the pond that has a very steep embankment. It's only 5 or 6 feet high, but it's at a sharp angle. I'm just cutting brush and things that are growing there, cutting that back. But I was standing on that angle. And I don't know, when you get in your mid-50s doing that, what happened was Sean and Rachel showed up in my driveway. They came up to visit and let their dog run around in my yard. And boy, am I glad you guys came here. I couldn't do that much longer. Man, my legs would shake, or bow in this case, right? So I'm sore today, and I was sore yesterday. And what's God telling us here? Well, look, these are the signs. This is what happens. I want you to think about this. You have potential for the present, but I want you to think about, you know, when your hands start to tremble, when your legs aren't as strong as they used to be, the strong men. The next thing in verse 3, and the grinders cease because they're few. Well, later in life, our grinders, our teeth, they cease because they're few. Okay, now we have better dental practices today, maybe, than they had in biblical times. But it's still very common for older folks to lose their teeth. It's just another sign that you're aging, that you're coming close to that day of your, closer to the day of your departure. And it's supposed to remind you of something. What should I be doing for God with the rest of my days? Not, boy, I wish I'd taken better care of my teeth. Maybe you should have. But that's not what God's trying to tell you here, okay? Let's see, what's next? Let's see, and those that look out the windows be darkened. What are your windows? Who's looking out? That's you, that's your eyeballs, right? As we get older, our eyes begin to darken and we cannot see well. By the way, I didn't mention any examples there. I haven't lost my teeth yet. I'm still good. The only ones I'm missing are from when I was a teenager, when I knocked them out playing football. So that one hasn't happened to me yet. I think the rest of these maybe. As we get older, our eyes get darkened. I can tell you one of the most annoying things for me, I didn't even wear glasses until I was in my 30s. I'm kind of weird that way. Most people's eyes change when they're in their teenage years or early 20s. Mine didn't change until I was in my 30s. And I started wearing glasses, and now I'm to the point that I can't see anything, anything small. I used to be able, I'm nearsighted, so I needed these to see far away. But when I was reading something, I could read just fine. Now I have a large print Bible. I have these progressive lenses. And when I'm trying to read one of those, you know, like on a medicine bottle, that little tiny print, I cannot see that. I don't care if I have my glasses on or not, I cannot see that. And I'm sure it's going to continue to get worse. All right? Look, what is that? That's a reminder that, hey, I'm coming closer to that day of departure. Let's see. Verse 4. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinders is low. The doors shut, it's referring to our loss of hearing that comes with to a lot of people when you get older. Okay? I haven't lost that yet, but if you ask my wife, she might tell you different. I won't explain what that means because she's sitting over there. Those of you that are married, no. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Often is an indicator of old age is not being able to sleep that well. Been there. Now I was known as a child and even as a young adult, I could sleep anywhere. It did not matter. Anywhere, anytime, if I wanted to sleep, lay down. I don't care if it's on the floor, if it's on a rock, I could sleep. Now you know what happens? The littlest sound. Right? All night long. I used to go to bed at 10 or 11 o'clock, and I would wake up at 6. Now I go to bed, something wakes me up, I go back to sleep, something wakes me up. Something, go to bed, something wakes me up, go to sleep, something wakes me up, all night long. I wake up and go, oh, it's okay now, I'm retired, so I don't have to get up. So, But again, just another reminder that, hey, I'm getting closer to the end here. So are you. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. I'm actually not sure of this one. I'm not sure if that's a reference to people that are musicians. You know, when you, if you're a singer, for example, your voice doesn't have the quality and the clarity when you're older that it did when you're younger. Or if it's something about those of you that play instruments, you lose dexterity. So, like, I'm not very good at it, but I play guitar. One of the things that I've tried to do is to get better, but I'm going the other way. My fingers aren't as dexterous as they once were. You know what I mean? I can't do it like I could when I was younger. I think maybe that's what that means. I'm just not sure of that one. Verse 5, and also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. Older folks don't enjoy being at great heights as young people do. I remember as a kid, I didn't do it because my parents told me, you will not do that. there was a bridge over the river near our town that people used to go and jump off the top of the bridge all the time. People would end up in the hospital, but hey, young people loved that stuff, right? Oh, you're nuts. Nope. I don't like things there that high anymore. As a matter of fact, I said to my wife just the other day, I wanted to get up on the peak of the house where I have to get a 24-foot ladder and climb, you know, once it's at an angle, I have to kind of get all the way to the top of that ladder. Those things never used to bother me. I used to paint houses. I used to move ladders like that by doing this from the top, moving them over. That stuff didn't scare me. What did I say to my wife? I said, well, nobody's going to be home, so if I fall, it's over. I'm going to lay there until somebody comes home. So, okay, so this is me, right? What is it? The kind of fear of that which is high is a reminder that we're getting closer to the end. And then the next thing. And the almond tree shall flourish. I'm sorry, there's another one. And fear shall be in the way. Right? Heights is just one thing. But we become much more cautious about safety as we get older. Have you noticed that? Anybody that has kids, you start saying to your kids when they start doing dangerous things, they don't care about heights. They're not afraid of, oh, be careful, be careful, be careful. My mother says to me every time I go visit her and I come home, well, drive careful. And I always say, nope, fast and reckless. That's my plan. You know, oh, of course. What's she doing? She's just more cautious than me. She's older than me. I'm more cautious than my kids in the things that I do. Like, I'm smart enough that I'm not going to go play soccer anymore. Why? Because the last couple times I've done it, I twist an ankle. It takes me a month and a half to get better. Okay, I'm more cautious because I'm getting further down the road, closer to that day of departure. And then the next one was the almond tree shall flourish. Have you ever seen an almond tree in bloom? You probably haven't. They don't grow around here, I don't think. An almond tree, when it's in bloom, is this beautiful silver and white color. What's that talking about? Right? Yeah, our hair turns gray. Okay, I'm approaching coconut tree. Right there with you, Sean.
I wish.
What's it supposed to remind you of? You're getting closer. Sorry. Not as close as me, hopefully, right? All right. See, we can have fun even with this subject, right? Let's see, where are we at here? And the grasshopper shall be a burden. You're not as strong as you once were, right? Even carrying around light things is a burden. I am definitely not as strong. I say this all the time when I'm trying to do things. Man, I used to be able to do this, but I cannot do this. I'm just not strong enough to do this anymore. You know, I'll use Pastor Chris as an example. In the last couple days, I've been underneath my truck, and he's called me. And you know how many times I can climb under my truck? My phone rings. It's on the other side of the garage. I got to climb back out of the truck and get over there. And then someone else calls me. Someone else texts me. Yeah, under the truck, out of the truck, under the truck, out of the truck. Whew, okay, I'm done now. I'm going to go in and rest. Time for lunch. Right? Again, just a reminder, right, that I'm not as strong as I once was. And desire shall fail. This is definitely true as you get older. The things that you used to love to do, yeah, a lot of them you just don't. I don't have any desire to do it anymore. I used to love to go on. I used to travel for my job, for example. Right? I would travel all over the country, some places around the world. But wherever I would go, I used to love to go on a little excursion. I have a little extra time. Those of you that have been to Chicago, they have Navy Pier. When you fly into O'Hare, you fly right over it from here. And I would fly over, we'd be landing. I said, I want to go there. So I'd land, I'd get my car, and I would find my way, go on a little side trip, go see Navy Pier and what's around there in Chicago. Now, Forget it. I don't want to deal with Chicago traffic. I'm not driving down there. I have no desire. I've traveled too much, in my opinion. I don't have any desire to travel at all. Some of you still do. I don't. I've been there, done that. Nope. Enough. Let's see, where are we at here? Because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. You know, in Oriental cultures, it used to be, and it may still be in some, that they used to hire mourners to go out into the streets and wail as someone was about to die. They would cry and wail. Again, all these things. It's sort of a weird little passage here in Ecclesiastes, but it's God telling us, look, when you just read it, it sounds good. But what he's saying is, look, when these things start happening, you're approaching your day of departure. I want you to think about me. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That doesn't just mean when you're super young, I think. It says in the days of thy youth. It does mean your youth. But when you're young enough that all of these things don't yet apply to you, I think. So when you no longer can function physically, and sometimes mentally, right? Some people, as they age, they lose their cognitive abilities. And God says, remember me. Think about what you've got left. Serve me. Do it now. Okay? We need to see the passing of our years in order to make our years count for God. Now, those of you that are older, I'm sure as I went through that, you could identify with some or all of those things. Right? I hit most of them, unfortunately. I'm only 55, right? Those that are younger, you tend not to consider these things. You think it's going to last forever. It's not. I know you know that, but it's going to happen, as us old guys often say, it's going to happen faster than you think. Rest assured, it's going to happen. You're going to start to notice that you lose a little part of yourself physically and your physical ability every year. You probably start noticing that in your early 30s. That's where I noticed it. But you realize at one point or another that you're never going to regain what you have lost. When you're younger, you tend to think, well, I'm just going to work out more and get in better shape. But what happens is you start losing that ability. And you will one day realize, I'm never getting better. It's kind of downhill from here, if you will, physically. All right? I'm not meaning to be depressing that way, but it's true, young people. This is why when I talk to some of you that are out playing football in the leagues, well, listen, you know, when you start getting hurt, and some of you have been hurt doing that, you're gonna get to the day when you're gonna say, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this. I don't play football anymore. I would love to. I think I can, but I really know I can't. I know better. I don't really have the desire. I would kind of like to because I used to love that, but anyway. So those are the reasons that when, you know, professional athletes, when they get to their mid-30s, we all talk about, oh, that guy's getting old. Well, he's 35. Come on, what do you mean he's old? Well, it's because they're losing a step. They're starting to lose their physical ability. And why professional football players, for example, there aren't very many. There's exceptions, but there's almost none of them in their 40s. Right? Their bodies can't take that anymore, unless they're Tom Brady. And whoop-de-doo, we get to see him again. Great. I respect his ability, but I don't like the guy. There's many things in life that God uses to speak to us and tell us that our years are passing. Okay, that's the second point, the passing of our years. All right? There's the potential of the present. Serve God. Do it now. There's the potential of the passing of our years. And then third, there's the preparation for eternity. Ecclesiastes 6 and 7 say, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. There's coming a day when the silver cord will be loosed, when this life will be over, and we'll go to meet God. We need to prepare for eternity. Now, first, that's a two-part thing, really. In my opinion, biblically, I think. First, you have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the first preparation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the rest doesn't matter. It ends badly for you. And I don't have time to get into the gospel right now, but I will simply tell you, find out if you don't know. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, find out what that means, and how to be saved is the term that we use here. I would expect Pastor will probably mention the gospel this morning in the morning service. If he doesn't, I'm sure if you talk to him or me or Pastor Chris or Pastor Seth or any number of other folks in the church, they'd be happy to show you how to be saved. I really don't leave the building without getting that. Don't do that. Because you don't know when you're going to die. It could be when you get in your car, when you leave this place. Okay? That's the first part. And without the first part, the rest doesn't matter. But the second part about being prepared for eternity is yielding our lives to him completely. So those of you that have been here, you might recall the lessons, but let me give you very quickly, I'm going to go through the points of the last, 2 weeks and this week, because you'll see how Solomon is summing up this sermon. And it's this, okay? Remember he said, cast thy bread upon the waters. Give your life to Jesus Christ completely. Don't regard the clouds, the fallen trees, the things that have happened to you that you can't control, the circumstances that you have. Don't let them stop you from serving God. The certainty that God is working and that he makes no mistakes. Okay? Be certain of that. You don't need to understand what he's doing. Just be certain. God is working. Know that life will have its dark days, and God uses those to perfect you. They're not terrible things, if that's what's happening. If you're getting closer to God because you're going through a dark day, that's a good thing. It's not fun, but it's a good thing. You know that your life will be brought into judgment, and therefore live a godly life. Don't create a future dark day for yourself when you stand before God and have to give an account. Live godly, okay? So that your life isn't wood, hay, stubble, if you remember the lesson last week. That you get silver, gold, precious stones. And then move forward in your work for God, forgetting the things that are behind. Okay? And then this week, listen, the greatest thing we can do is give our lives to God now. Realize the potential of the present. Recognize that the years are passing quickly. Us old guys say that all the time. It sounds stupid and cliche. Time seems to go faster the older I get, but it's true. It's true. Shannon was just born the other day. She's 19, so you know. That's what it feels like. And then prepare for eternity. First by getting to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then by giving your life to God. So do you see how many times, just in a chapter and a half, Solomon is saying, and God is inspiring him to say this, right? Give your life to God. Do it. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't let anything stop you. Give yourself to God. Serve him with everything that you've got left. That's what it says. You just have to think about it and let it affect you. You can set this lesson aside because Pastor's going to preach in a few minutes. So listen to everything you got to what he has to say from the Word of God. Do that. But then think about these things. So don't waste another day because the day of our departure is coming sooner than any of us can imagine. Okay. So let's pray and I'm done a little bit over time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would help us all to do this. Lord, we want to serve you. Lord, we pray. Lord, for the salvation of any that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, of course, Lord, we pray that if there's unsaved here, Lord, that they wouldn't leave here without asking someone about how to be saved. Lord, but for the rest of us that are saved, Lord, we want to, Lord, thank you that we can serve you, first of all. Lord, thank you for these signs even of aging and how they remind us, Lord, that we're coming closer to the end, Lord, and that we need to serve you with everything, all the days that we have left. Lord, help us to be prepared. Lord, help us to continue to study your word and to learn from it, to be affected by it. Lord, we pray your Holy Ghost would tell each one of us, Lord, what we can change, what we should do different. Now, Lord, we pray for the morning service. Pray that it would be a blessing. Pray for Pastor Cole. Fill him with your spirit, Lord, as he preaches to us. Lord, we pray that you would use this day to affect hearts, to change lives. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified and honored through everything that's done here. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.